Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we evaluate the state of Spokane's innovation economy with one of the people who works with local entrepreneurs. Michael Ebinger is the director of Washington State University's Center for Innovation. He advised Chris Maynard, the firefighter whom we featured in Monday's Inland Journal podcast. Maynard has developed a glucose gel necklace for diabetics who want the security of knowing they have a remedy when their blood sugar runs low. Ebinger is one of the cogs in a growing innovation ecosystem in Spokane. We asked him recently about how he interacts with his clients and what he does to help them.
It's an individual at a time, or maybe two people at a time, coming through with an idea, but there are multiples of those coming through each week. So like this week is Thursday. I've seen already six people this week with new ideas. It's a busy week, so that's a busy week and not really typical, so that's the way it is. But my grant is such that I have to take anybody who comes in with an idea, so I can't focus on all medical devices or all something else. It's everything that comes in the door is where we start.
And of all those numbers that come in, how many of them really pan out to actually get a product to market, right, make somebody some money, that sort of thing?
Right. So I've had almost 500 clients in the 5 years that I've had the center going. And I think we have about a dozen who are actually making money, another dozen that are pretty close to doing that. So it's
one out of 40, two out of 40, yeah. So 5% total.
Right. Huh? And I would like it to be a little higher than that, but that's the nature of my business is to keep the people from making the mistake of going into business before they spend all the money. Some of the ideas are great. The variety of ideas are just all over the map. So it's really fun.
Has your business picked up over the last few years? Are you seeing more and more people?
Absolutely. I track each. So my funder is the Economic Development Administration. And each year they ask me for a progress report. It's on a funny part of the year because they're on a funny fiscal year, but I keep track from calendar year, from January to December. And each January to December since 2012, when I started this, has increased the number of people coming in the door. So it seems to be increasing. I feel tired more often. So
does this mean Spokane's building a quote-unquote entrepreneurial culture?
Yeah, in fact, the entrepreneurial culture, I think, would say, let's change culture to ecosystem so that we have a little bit more implied interaction between the different parts. So, for instance, Startup Spokane does a certain thing a certain way, and they have limitations. And then when they run out of their limitations, they may send somebody my way or somewhere else. But we all interact, and a little bit of a tweak on one side of the system obviously results in something else happening on the other side of the system. I like to think about it like that.
How do you measure the impact on the local economy from these kinds of things?
So my funder asks for number of jobs created, number of research dollars coming in, things of that sort. Research dollars is pretty easy to track, but number of jobs created is really difficult because are they direct jobs? Are they jobs that happened because of you had direct jobs? There's all kind of multipliers that go along with that. So that's really the hardest part of my job is to say how many jobs have been created in town because of our efforts.
So what's your best guesstimate?
Oh, boy. I'd say in the hundreds, the low hundreds, if you include all of the indirect jobs. So if say Chris has three employees, those three employees also buy things elsewhere in town. So those actually do count for my funder.
And so what's the trend look like?
It's increasing definitely. And I think you can see that especially in the last couple of years. The new med schools in town definitely have helped that. And I know WSU for sure has a innovation side that's really pushing innovation within the medical school students. So there's a component there that's really going to be feeding into the innovation side of life for sure for that.
Is that going to show up in terms of medical devices or ideas or is that one of the yes and yes?
It's a yes and yes for sure. Yeah. I would say there's a lot of emphasis right now on apps that if you can get a medical app out there to do maybe one thing on a phone that you can't do except in a doctor's office, that's a great possibility. There's a new one on WSU's campus now that I just heard about a few months ago, looking at autism and how to detect signs of autism in younger kids. So if you can detect autism in younger kids, you can treat younger and have maybe a higher effectiveness of treatment. That's one thing that's coming out of the med school.
So you pointed us toward one of your clients who was, you've probably got more than one client who are working on apps. What's involved in that in terms of what's the challenge of creating apps that are going to catch on?
Oh, that's great. there are two parts to that. One is to have a catchy idea. What's this idea that really people will grab and literally use on their phones? The second part of that is, how do you get the developers involved in this? You can go to any number of developers who can develop an app on any kind of platform, but there are certain ways certain apps really need to work well. You can't get a database developer to run an app that requires a lot of input and output, but you can't get an input and output app developer to work on a database style of app. So there's lots of permutations in that. There's also a really interesting growing local scene in app development, and that's starting to get a lot more robust. And it's not quite to the point, at least in my opinion, that you can actually walk out on Main Street and find out who can develop this app with me. You got to kick the rocks a little bit and find somebody that will actually take it on and not farm it out overseas or whatever, unless you're really interested in that.
But, well, I know the University of Washington, with their Spokane presence, holds right. their co-motion labs,
right.
and they're teaching people how to not only create the apps, but then how to market them and make them actually
right.
work.
I don't know the extent of what co-motion is doing as far as development of the apps. I know Startup has been a little bit more involved than I know about anyway in code development. So there's a little bit more of that. There seems to be a little bit more flow through Startup than I know about with code developers. And I hold office hours over there on Fridays, and I show up and all the developers are there that day. And there are probably six or eight of them occupying the space that I'm in as well. And it's fun to listen to them. I can't talk to them because I don't talk computer code, but it's really fun to hear what they're talking about. It's pretty interesting.
We're talking with Michael Ebinger, the director of WSU's Center for Innovation. As I think about historic economic development over 20 or 25 years in Spokane, this is an area that I don't think has been, that I think some people believe would come, but I don't think it's a traditional for Spokane economic development tool. How well do you think it's understood among the general public?
Oh, I think it's right at the tip of the iceberg. I think, in fact, I've learned so much in 5 years about things like app development, or for that matter, computer code development for different purposes, that 5 years ago, if you would have said, how do you develop this app? I would have just, you know, thrown a book out and said, here, just try this. That's not that way at all. There's a design element to it. There is a coding effort to it. It's kind of a I could use a musical analogy. It's kind of a symphony in a way. You've got all the parts that need to go together to perform a piece. And if you can do that, great. If you can't do that, you're going to have bad music. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of bad music out there that has to be changed over time. But in the last couple of years, that's starting to change in town. So we don't have to go to Seattle or India or San Diego to get the programming done. We can start. There are some applications that can actually be done in town. So that's good.
So is there a way to forecast, you know, what the future is, what's the trend line for that?
Yeah, I think it's increasing. I think we're going to see more local developers show up in Spokane, mostly because of quality of life. I never bought that line that Spokane is such a better quality of life, it's going to attract people from the Bay Area and Spokane, or Seattle. But as I see that happening, it's like, well, I have to change that position because I was wrong. But it's really interesting to see people like to live here. They're going to actually start to move here. Or if they are here, they'll set up business here and say, this is stable enough that I can stay here and make a living.
So. And are they coalescing in, as we were talking about the medical field, are they coalescing around specific industries?
Not that I know of. There are a couple of database style developers that just came in from out of town, basically for quality of life. They couldn't buy a house in Chicago, say, but they could buy a bigger house than they were even going to have a chance to buy here in town. So they did that. And he works at home, makes a great living doing what he's doing. Is that going to happen more? I think it is. When people start to think about their overhead, when the developers start to think about their overhead and say, my margin can increase if I stay in a city like Spokane, my quality of life doesn't decrease much, if at all. I can do that and still have this nice big house without paying, you know, too much for it.
And I can go skiing, and I can go,
absolutely.
And I can
right.
buy a boat or, you know,
right.
kayak
and
down the river.
You've got
or something.
An airport down the road. Yeah. It's maybe not the most convenient airport, but it still works.
Is there a physical place, an app district, so to speak, here in Spokane, where these people tend to be working and congregating?
I would say CoMotion is a good place for that. I don't have a lot of time over there, so I don't see that happening. There's a little bit happening at niche co-working, just on Main Street and Brown's, between Brown and Division on Main Street. And then Startup Spokane, of course, has quite a bit of activity there. I think Startup was the kind of the original place to go. Fellow as well. There's quite a bit of work going on at Fellow. So
where's Fellow?
Fellow is at Washington Cracker Building over on Pacific. It's starting to maybe coalesce around the co-working spaces. Are there any development shops? Yeah, kind of, sort of, but not really at this point. There's a lot of graphics shops, but I think graphic development is quite a bit different than what I'm thinking about in terms of app development.
This has been a fascinating discussion. Is there something something I haven't asked about that I should have?
No, something you hit on, the idea of Spokane becoming kind of a powerhouse with regard to small business development. I think that's really going to happen. It's been said from GSI and other places that, you know, we'd like this to happen, but I think we're actually starting to see it. It's exciting to be on the very beginning of some of these things as they start up.
Spokane has always had this, along the economic development was always go out and recruit the big company to come in. We've got Amazon and that sort of thing. So are you saying that the culture is now more of growing your own, starting the small businesses and growing them and building from the bottom up?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both, maybe half and half, actually. So there's a lot of things locally that are starting to grow from scratch, but there is also some of the companies coming in from outside of town. Amazon, for once, is a good one. There's one of my favorite genetics companies in the Bay Area. I would love to see that company move up here, and they're doing gangbusters right now. And they could, you know, if they did that, their cash flow for property would go in half. But that argument didn't sit too well, I guess. They like being in the Bay Area, so they stayed. But that's the way it is.
Well, they've got their ecosystem down there.
Absolutely, they do.
What's the ecosystem here?
Depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about life sciences and all, we've got an emerging ecosystem for sure, both on the technical side. What is the science that needs to happen? What are the applications that need to happen? But then we've got a lot of entrepreneurs who are maybe not quite invested or involved in that ecosystem quite yet, but they're very close. And I see some really interesting things happening.
So the state of Washington had a life science discovery fund, and that just kind of piffled and is gone. How did that affect this development of life sciences? And, well, most of it went to Seattle, but some came to Spokane.
It did. I think in a way, and I don't have the numbers behind this, but in a way I think the end of that fund has really helped Spokane. The folks that are working in Seattle suddenly have high overhead to deal with. Some of those folks are looking this way or moving this way. So it's starting to happen.
You know, the talk about having the Elson S. Floyd College of Medicine, full disclosure, I used to work for the College of Medicine, that would be a catalyst, and then add the University of Washington Gonzaga partnership. Has that really been beneficial? Has it brought the benefits that our forebears thought it would bring?
I think so, to a large degree. It's still early for both of those schools. But I think in time, I think the foundation, especially WSU, because I'm more familiar with that, I think that foundation is very strong. And I think it's going to bear fruit relatively soon, maybe 2 to 3 years. The other thing I see really as a benefit for WSU is the focus on innovation that the medical students are having or are exposed to. And I don't know the details of the programs, but each of the students is pushed into thinking innovatively about how to do medicine in the rural areas, but also in the city areas and all that. How can they be better practitioners of medicine through innovation? And I think that's going to pan out in a big way.
Michael Ebinger is the director of Washington State University's Center for Innovation. He works with entrepreneurs who want to develop ideas into marketable products and services. Over the next 3 podcasts, we'll feature Steve Jackson's interviews with Spokane mayoral candidates Ben Stuckert, Kelly Cruz, and Jonathan Bingle. You can find the Inland Journal podcast by searching for Inland Journal in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play, or find it on the Inland Journal page of the Spokane Public Radio website. You can send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Thanks for listening to the program.